This is ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. Over the course of the next hour, we'll delve into topics somewhat outside of sports, a public affairs show to pique your interest. This is Beyond Sports, only on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Beyond Sports. I am Hannah Stanley with you as I am every Sunday morning. And if you joined me last week, you heard about an upcoming event that is free that I wanted to make sure people knew about. And we're going to explore a little bit more about that topic and make sure we give you information. It is called Food as Medicine, and it's taking place at Resurrection University. And I will give you all of that information as we go throughout, but we will start with that as well. It's going to be on Thursday, February 23rd, from 5:30 to 8 p.m. And Resurrection is over in Wicker Park. So not crazy inconvenient for anybody. It's easy to get to. Joining me currently is one of the presenters, and I'll just call him a host, one of the hosts for the evening. It's Dr. David Miller, and duly board certified in pediatrics and Chinese medicine, which I am fascinated how that combines, because it's very, yeah, very rare to find. So tell me a little bit, Dr. Miller, if you would, where exactly, let's talk about Chinese medicine and how that works into into pediatrics.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I mean, so Chinese medicine is really a comprehensive system of medicine that's been developing continuously over the past 2,500 years or more. And so, you know, the great thing about Chinese medicine is it really prizes natural strategies, changes in diet, changes in lifestyle, changes in mindset, as the real keys to health and wellness. And so it's a very holistic medicine. It's a naturopathic, naturalistic medicine too. And so many of the techniques that we use in Chinese medicine are very gentle and ideally suited for children. I think many people think of Chinese medicine as being just acupuncture, right? But acupuncture is only one of the tools that we use in our broader bag of treatment techniques. And so there's some therapeutic massage modalities. People may have heard of cupping or gua sha, moxibustion, other things like that. So it actually integrates wonderfully.
The cupping became a big deal during the Summer Olympics. And Michael Phelps utilizes it to increase blood flow, break up some things within his muscles, and went to Rio with cup marks, which are round bruises on his shoulders and back. I've experienced cupping for years and I love it. And it's always my right shoulder. And it
there we go.
There are times where it does not feel good when it's happening. But man, does that it really does make a difference. And this is something that I've experienced. And I've actually taken my son to, not in this area, not in this market, but to somebody who, when I was getting treated, my son was in the room and he goes, Hannah, I'm going to look at Grayson. I'm like, okay. So for his allergies. So this is not something that I'm unfamiliar with, but just so if people don't know what cupping is, that's what it is. You actually like create a suction within either a glass or a plastic cup, and then it helps draw blood to the surface.
Right, and cupping can be done for a couple of different purposes, and it can be done for musculoskeletal pain responses and pain reactions, and it can also be done or is used in Chinese medicine to stimulate the points and channels of acupuncture in a different way, and it can actually be done. It's done traditionally in every context. Like cupping is very big in Eastern Europe, for example, and it's often used at early stages of colds when people are starting to get sick to try to trigger an immune response to help kick off the sort of pathogenic infection. And
I need to come see you today.
Right? I mean, catch it early. And cupping is ideally indicated for that situation. So that's interesting.
That's fantastic. Acupuncture is another technique that I've had and I really find effective for me. Tell me with this this program that's coming up soon. It is the Food as Medicine program presented by Resurrection University at Resurrection University, free to the public, which is spectacular. What can people expect?
Well, at this one, this is the second time of doing this with Dr. Chris Coates, who's a chiropractor.
Mm-hmm. We talked to her last week. Yeah.
Perfect. And Eric Meredith, who's a chef,
mm-hmm.
who
He's
does, you know, some great natural stuff. So you'll hear them too as well. Yeah. And they're brilliant people. And so the first time we met, we were talking about conceptualizing food in different ways. So we talked about the energetic properties of food and thinking about food from Eastern and Western perspectives. At this upcoming event, we're going to talk about different styles of eating, different diets, whether it's vegan or vegetarian or macrobiotic or, some of the other dietary strategies, Mediterranean diet. And I'm also going to demonstrate, I like smoothies. I'm a big advocate of fresh smoothies and how to use those as part of your strategy of getting really whole foods nutrition into your body, increasing your plant intake in a pleasurable way.
All right. I talked to Dr. Totes last week on this program, and she went over a couple of different things, but I wanted to ask you, especially when it comes with our children's diets, because our kids, mm-hmm. their little cells are dividing so rapidly. It feels, to me, food seems so much more important for them and what we put into their system. With the Chinese, and I'm going to say it wrong, but it's basically the clear, bland diet mm-hmm. ideal. How can we do that with our kids? What are we needing to focus on?
Right. Well, I think there's a mix of ways of approaching nutrition with kids. And overall, kids appreciate sort of simpler foods than adults do a lot of times. A lot of times as we get older, we enjoy really complex flavors, complex foods, sometimes richer foods and heavier foods perhaps than we should, but that we do enjoy. Kids tend to like simpler, more straightforward foods, and they like them cooked in ways that tend to also be relatively simple. So steaming and stir-frying in water can be one way to prepare foods that breaks down their cells and makes them a little more digestible, but also, keeps them healthy when you're eating them. You know, soups and stews can also be an ideal way to get foods into kids, and smoothies can be a great way, too. There's an idea in Chinese medicine that a child's digestive capacity, it's strong but incompletely developed and sometimes gets challenged by foods that are too heavy or too fatty or too sugary. And yet kids tend to gravitate towards those foods anyway, right?
Yeah.
And so, part of what we need to do is start feeding kids those more natural, more whole foods from an early age. Try to keep them away from some of those sweet, simple kinds of sugary kinds of foods so they don't come to expect them, and gradually over time build their capacity to digest more complex foods.
So are there basic things that we need to incorporate as far as, like Dr. Totes was saying, mm-hmm. Possibly there, a raw diet isn't necessarily good for everyone because of how you digest or what you need. How do we know this with our children?
Well, so my preference with kids is to, there are certain things, like kids are actually able to digest, but they also have behavioral things that you have to get over when you're trying to feed them. as you may know, is they decide they don't like something even before they've tried it just mm-hmm. because they look at it cross-eyed. And so, there's basically, I think kids need a good exposure to foods that are nutrient dense, just like we all do. So fresh fruits and vegetables, whole grain foods can be good for kids. Meats that are prepared in a healthy way, preferably like organic and free-range grass-fed would be my preference for meats, but not in too great a quantity. And so feeding kids smaller quantities of foods that are sort of simply but appropriately prepared in a way that makes them easy to digest is the general strategy. And then in general with kids, I like to try to introduce new foods relatively, consistently, speaking of kids who are more like toddlers and onward rather mm-hmm. than infants, and give them a chance to try foods and acclimate to food, because I think kids have a natural sort of, many kids, sort of a knee-jerk response where they reject the food many times because it seems foreign or different. And then ultimately they may find that they actually really do like that food, and the multiple attempts at introduction can be useful. I think being patient, doing, consistent introduction, offering foods prepared in healthy but different ways can sometimes be useful. And, you know, sometimes kids don't always like all the details of what goes into things. So, like, you could make a smoothie with greens in it. Mm-hmm. You throw some blueberries in there and it's purple and they don't know there are greens in it. You may get better receptivity to that than if you give them, like, a green smoothie. And so, you know, there's some preparation kind of strategies that could be done that make it more palatable.
A perfect example of this, a friend of mine who actually suffers from some autoimmune diseases, I was at her house and she made us a smoothie, my friend and I who were there. And she said, I'm not telling you what's in this. And I said, okay. And I'm drinking the smoothie and I'm like, this is very good. It's not as sweet, but it's still sweet. And she said, my secret ingredient is frozen cauliflower.
Wow. There you go.
Said, so instead of adding ice, she adds frozen cauliflower, like the florets. It's very clever, and it adds all this nutrition that her kids and I wouldn't have normally been getting. So there you go. That's another little tip. But it was a way for her to sneak in vegetables into her kids with berries and bananas. She's like, you throw a banana in, you don't taste anything else.
Right. It's really true. And I think that, you know, in general, it's getting to be more widely accepted that most of us are, you know, micronutrient deficient, whether it's magnesium or zinc or iron or some of those micro or macronutrients that are so critical for, you know, a functional immune system, for creating neurotransmitters like serotonin and dopamine and things that we're giving lots of pills for these days to boost the levels. But we're not encouraging us, our kids or ourselves, to eat the foods that give us the building blocks to build those neurotransmitters naturally. You know, there's good data to show things like there's a chemical, class of chemicals, family of chemicals called acanthocyanines that are in brightly colored foods like blueberries and brightly colored berries, brightly colored, other types of some of the vegetables. You know, there's the beta carotenes and all your yellow things. And so those colors are also indicative of chemicals in the foods that our body needs and seeks out when it learns to like those and to recognize those as beneficial. And there's a certain amount of that just happens. As you eat them more, your body recognizes them as, you know, useful and desirable, and then you start to crave them. Mm-hmm. But kids will often get their parents to feed them what I call the bland beige diet.
Right.
You know, not just me, but it's chicken nuggets and pasta and pizza and French fries.
Mac and cheese, yes.
Mac and cheese, right? And that is not the diet that the Chinese are recommending. For example, when they talk about a simple, clear diet, they're talking about, like, you know, soups and stews prepared simply with fresh things and, you know, that are cooked to some degree and easy to digest, but not heavy starches, heavy carbs, and heavy fat.
I find it hard to believe that parents in China do not feed their children occasionally chicken nuggets. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, well, absolutely. And you know, there's certain chains of fast food chicken restaurants that have become quite popular over there. So they are becoming westernized.
That's not necessarily a good thing.
Not necessarily a good thing.
So aside from coming to this program, which is going to occur, stand by while I verify, February 23rd, Thursday, February 23rd, at Resurrection University from 5:30 to 8 p.m., we are going to talk more about how people can really discover what is lacking in their own diet. We're going to do that in our next segment with Dr. David Miller. I'm Hannah Stanley. This is Beyond Sports on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.